I'll check one too. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lemuel. So, topic today, as you've heard from Jeff and Brother Haley, is all about eating. Okay. So we're going to be jumping into this topic of eating. I don't know if people really preach about eating very often, but we're going to take a crack at it today, see what God has for us. So, let me pray, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we pray for this time together once again. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon us, Lord, as we seek to change the rhythms of our lives, that our rhythms would not be the rhythms that we've been doing for our whole life that we've been accustomed to, Lord. Instead, that we would change our habits and change the way we live so that we can have a regular rhythm of making disciples, Lord, that would be on the forefront of our mind, that would be what we seek to do in all aspects of our lives. So, Lord, we pray for your word to be in us, Lord, and for your spirit to move in us during this time, and be with us as we hear your word, and as we seek to change the way we use this very regular and essential part of our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for most of us here, we would say that eating is pretty awesome, right? We all enjoy eating. I would say probably 95% of us don't eat for the pure purpose of survival, right? If we did, we would probably just eat like those MREs, those that the military eats, or like just like smoothies with all of our nutrients and whatever. But we like different types of food. We enjoy different textures, and we just enjoy different flavors. And that's the reason why we like to eat. But I did hear of one person who does not really enjoy food. He basically eats for pure survival. And he's actually a famous person, fairly famous. I don't know if most of you would know him. His name is Michael Kay. And if you know sports, he is a television analyst for the New York Yankees. And he's also a radio host on 98.7 ESPN. And I listen to the radio station on my afternoon drive sometimes. And so this guy, he's very, very smart guy. And they were just sharing about eating food. They talk about a lot of random stuff. It's a sports show, but they talk about a lot of random things. And they were just talking about eating. And he was talking about how he was sharing he ate very few foods. He enjoys very few foods. And the thing that struck me the most was he never in his life ever tried soup. Soup. Like, that's unbelievable, right? Like everyone of us here have had soup once in our lives. But this guy has never tried soup before. This guy obviously is not Asian, because Asians, all we do is eat soup, right? So he is this white guy. He's a white guy from New York. And I looked it up because I was curious, like, what does this guy eat? So, or what does he, like, enjoy, or what does he not eat? So, according to his wife, right, he only enjoys three things, basically. He enjoys bacon, steak, and chicken parm. These are the three things that he enjoys really eating. And he eats salad sometimes, but only if it's iceberg lettuce salad. And if not, he doesn't eat dressing. So this is what his wife said. He basically eats frozen water served with a fork. Right? That's what he's doing. And in terms of food, he's never tried a lot of foods, from what I've seen. He's never tried soup, as I said. He's never tried bananas before. He doesn't eat any condiments of any type, no ketchup or mustard or anything, right? Most of us can't even eat a hot dog without ketchup, right? And he actually he lost a bet once on his radio show, and he had to eat a packet of ketchup on the show, and he got sick actually eating that. He doesn't eat jelly, so no PB&Js. He doesn't eat cheese unless it's on pizza. no veal, and he doesn't eat coffee. He doesn't drink coffee either. So this is probably just a small fraction of the foods he doesn't eat, but it's very, very unusual. And it's pretty clear he does not really enjoy food. Most people who enjoy food would try different foods, would try eating different things. You know, we're not like 5 years old where we don't try anything and we're just eating chicken nuggets all the time, right? That's basically his appetite. He's a 5 year old in terms of his appetite. And he's basically said he only eats for the purpose of survival. That is the reason why he eats. He doesn't have any real enjoyment in it. And I know that this is an unusual case, right? Most of us here, we enjoy food thoroughly. We think about it all the time. Even right now, you're probably thinking about, what am I going to eat for lunch, right? You're not listening to me. You're listening to your stomach, right? That's what we're doing right now. Because food is such a big part of our lives, whether it's for the purpose of survival, which it is, that we need to eat to survive, but also because we enjoy it. And many people in the world enjoy food. And this is very true of what Jesus is doing as well, and what the Bible depicts as well. And eating is a regular part of our lives, a regular rhythm of our life. And, you know, the goal for us here is, how can we instill disciple-making rhythms into the regular things that we do in our lives? Right? So how can we regularly share Jesus Christ in the things that we do in our lives? You know, so we're not trying to add anything extra to our schedule. We're not trying to add anything extra on our plates, right? We're trying to do this naturally in our everyday lives, right? Wherever we are, whoever we're with, whether we're working, whether we're playing, how are we naturally sharing Jesus in the love of Christ that he has, in the love that Christ has for us? That's the goal for us here. That's the purpose and aim for us, right? And to do this, we talked about prayer, right? Now the first B of bless, right? Begin with prayer. Talked about we have to pray, and we have to come before God and ask him for opportunities to pray, to share the love of Christ, and we need to be continuing to pray through this and for this. And last week we talked about listening. They need to be good listeners. We need to listen to God, listen to the Holy Spirit, how God is calling us and talking to us, but also being good listeners to those around us. And these are very essential parts of changing your rhythm and being a rhythm, having a disciple make your rhythm. But also one of the best avenues to do this is through a meal, right? One of the best ways to listen to someone is through a meal. It's through food. It's through eating. So to start us off, we're going to kind of go into what the Bible says about eating, right? Just so that we can get a proper biblical understanding of how food or eating comes into play and how we can apply it now into our lives, right? Because I don't want to go straight into the application stuff. I don't want to just say stuff that can be like made up out of nowhere, right? We want a biblical basis to all this, right? So we're going to look at the Old Testament, actually. So in the Old Testament, if you know anything about Jewish history, they had a lot of restriction, and they had a lot of restrictions in terms of what they could eat. Food was a big part of their laws. They had a lot of dietary laws. And the reason for that is, I think there's multiple reasons. And one is cleanliness. Right? God wanted to protect them and protect their health. So God made pretty clear restrictions about certain foods. And a lot of scholars believe it was so that they could be healthy, so that they can live long, and they don't eat certain parts of different animals or certain things, so that they could live healthy lives, like long, healthy lives, because that's what God wanted for them. So this was a tradition, and it was a way to honor God. This was a part of what they did. But after Christ was born, right, in the New Testament, after Christ comes down, and especially after the death and resurrection of Christ, we see the breaking or the destruction of all of these old rituals and traditions that are being done, right? And we see this paradigm changing here because of Christ. because of what Christ is fulfilling here, as he has come to die and as he has come back to life, everything is changing. These laws are becoming obsolete. So let me read Acts 10 for us. So if you can look on the screen there, we could read Acts 10. And at this point, the early church is just beginning, and Peter is on his journey preaching the gospel. And one day he goes to the rooftop to pray and hears this voice. Okay, so let me pull up Acts 10 really quickly. So Acts 10, 9 to 16. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about 6 hours to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Okay. So we see here this strange situation, right? Peter encounters this vision of animals, and hears a voice telling him to kill and eat. And he is truly confused. He has no idea what this is about because he has never eaten these foods. Right? He has this vision of these foods, but he's never eaten them. And he was a very good Jew. Right? He was a good Jew. He always ate kosher, right? He never went away from that. And he was good at obeying these dietary laws. Right? But here we see that, you know, this mindset of only eating certain foods is being destroyed. Right? That the old clean, unclean distinctions, those are going away. And those dietary laws, the ceremonial laws, in the Old Testament, in the Mosaic Covenant, all of these are being overturned. And they no longer apply. And this includes the laws of like the sacrifices, the festivals, the special days, and even circumcision. This is all going by the wayside. And the purpose of this is that God and Jesus Christ wants there to be no restriction for the gospel to be preached, not just for the Jews, but for all people. Right? When you are being culturally restrictive, you are not allowing your message to be spread to other people. Right? The purpose of all of this being destroyed is that, no, these things do not save you. Jesus Christ saves you. So even what you eat, that does not mean anything anymore. You don't have to follow these dietary laws or restrictions anymore. You simply follow Jesus. Jesus is the way. Right? And this Jesus is not only for you as a Jew, right? Yes, traditionally God has worked within the Jews, within the Israelites. But now Jesus Christ, he is working for everybody. He is saving everyone. The message of the gospel is for all people. And again, God made these laws in the Old Testament for the purpose of the Jewish people's good, right? He wanted good for them. He restricted them from mixing with other people around them because he didn't want their religion to be turned in some way. You know, they had this tendency, the Israelites, to, when they interacted with other people groups, they would adopt their religion and adopt their idols. And God saw them straying away from them. So God wanted them to be within themselves, right? To hold on to the true belief of the true God, the one and only God. Right? God commanded Israel to be amongst themselves so that they cannot be corrupted by the gods and beliefs around them. Right? And it's similar to like having the right friends around you. Right? So you're not pressured into doing bad things. We always talk about, oh, you need to have the right friends. Yeah, it's because if you have bad friends will make you do bad things. And the same way God was doing that same thing for the Israelites, but now God is breaking down that barrier because of the power of Christ, who by his grace, he overcomes all sin. Right? He overcomes all sin and death. And this grace is not just for some of us, right? Not just for Jews, but for all of us. This includes us. We are outsiders here. All of us are not Israelites. We're not Jewish. We can now receive the grace and truth of Jesus Christ, right? Because now we don't have to think about these restrictions anymore. God is breaking down that barrier because his grace is for all of us. And Jesus is a prime example of taking advantage of this, right? God wanted to use food. He wanted to use this for a greater purpose. And he ate with all types of people. He didn't just eat with Jews. He ate with all types of people. Jesus formed relationships through meals with all types of people. And he never refused someone when they showed him hospitality, because he saw it as an opportunity to share and teach the faith, right? So this is what is happening here. The way we think about eating, it changes. It changes where we can enjoy more foods, but more than that, we can now share meals and be in communion with other people. Right? And food is all about being in communion with God. That is the image we see a lot with food in the Bible. And it's because food is meant to be eaten with other people. It's not for you to be eating it alone. Food was all about eating it together as a family. And that's why even on the last day, on his last meal, we read the passage today, right? And we don't call it, we don't call that passage the final teaching, the last teaching, the last sermon. What do we call it? We call it the Last Supper, right? Jesus knew a horrible death was coming and knew Judas would be his betrayer, right? He was facing Judas right in the face during this meal, facing Judas right in the face, knowing that this will be one of his last things he will do. And what did he say? He says, remember me. Right? Whenever you eat or drink, remember me. Right? In this final meal, Jesus is calling us to remember his death and sacrifice. That is to come a little bit later on. But in every meal, through a meal, he is saying, he's calling us to remember his death and resurrection. And he did that because eating is such an essential part of who we are, right? Eating is something we have to do every day. It is essential for our survival. It is a natural instinct for us to eat. We are hungry, and then we eat. Right? And there's an imagery of eating as being hungry for God's spirit. We sang the song Hungry, right? We do that because we need the Spirit of God. We need God in us. We need Christ in us. In the same way, we need food for our everyday living, for our everyday life. And we are to be grateful to God for the food we are given. That's why we pray for our meals, for our daily provision and survival, right? We have it in the Lord's Prayer. It is such an essential part of life. And it is a place of communion as well. Of coming together. And we come together to eat food with the truth of Jesus at the core of it. And that is why Jesus is having this last meal with his disciples. So the purpose of eating, the purpose of food is to build fellowship and to grow in relationship with the people around us, with the truth of Jesus Christ at the center, right? And there's a certain closeness and intimacy that comes with eating, with sharing a meal together. It's a key part of hospitality, right? Eating with others is all about hospitality. And when you invite someone into your home, you don't not feed them. The first thing you do is you feed them when they come into your home. How do you not offer anything when you invite someone into your home to stay with you, right? Eating and hospitality, they go hand in hand. And I know we live in a culture, especially here in the Northeast, where hospitality, it really doesn't exist anymore. People don't even say hello while walking down the street, right? Like, how many times do you guys like walk down to your offices and or to school, wherever you're going, and you guys just say hi to each other on the street? Like, that never happens. It's weird if it happens. You're like, why do you say hi to me? Like, why do you give me a head nod? Like, who is this guy? What is this guy doing? And if you live in New York City, if you grew up in New York City, if someone looks at you funny, there's a fight about to break out. You might start a little scuffle. But eating meals with others, this needs to be a regular part of our lives. I know that this idea of hospitality it doesn't really exist too much in our culture anymore. But we need to incorporate it into our everyday rhythms of our life. And I know that most of us share meals with other people, right? When we are at work or in school, we have lunch with other people. We don't have lunch by ourselves usually, unless you're super busy. I know some people who are super busy at work, they eat at their desk, right? Because they don't have time to eat. But we have these opportunities to eat together. And I know, especially in our fellowship groups, we like to eat together, we like to hang out together, like to bond. And in our life groups, we like to do that. And other friends at church, we like to do that together. And that's great. I want you guys to keep doing that. It's a way to build those friendships and to bond and grow in fellowship together. But we need to move beyond our circle of friends here at church. We need to move beyond just the fellowship that we have here, because we need to incorporate this into disciple making, right? We can do this in fellowship, which is great. But how can we incorporate this into a disciple making rhythm of life? Right? Like, how many times a week do we even have just one meal with a non-Christian friend or acquaintance? Right? Even just one. I know for students here, they have it all the time. Right? Every day, in lunch, all the people around you are non-Christians. But I know many people who are working, some of you don't even like to go out and eat with your coworkers, right? You might not even like your coworkers. You might not like your job atmosphere, your environment. So you don't even like to eat with other people. I had a friend, she hated her job. She hated her workplace, and she really didn't like the people around her. So for lunch, you know what she would do? She would drive to a local, whatever, like Panera, Burger King, whatever. She'd go there, right? She'd go back and drive back to her office, and she would eat in her car every day for lunch, right? Because she just didn't want to eat with other people, right? But I want us to get out of that thinking, get out of that mindset of, you know, we are so worried and scared, and we are so easily annoyed and upset and frustrated in our environment sometimes. Right? How can we overcome that so that we can be willing to use the opportunities that we have? Clear opportunities. We don't have to eat alone in our car. How can we use those opportunities to share Jesus Christ, share the love of Christ to the people around? Right? The opportunities are really plentiful. For some reason, we just cannot seem to go after these relationships and seek these relationships. Let me just show you a short clip of Nabil Qureshi. Pastor Jeff mentioned him a couple months ago. He's a Christian apologist who currently has cancer. He's a former Muslim, and he actually has made tremendous strides in his treatment, if you kept up with him at all regarding his cancer. But he continues to battle. But this is before all that happened, and he's just sharing the importance of hospitality and the impact that it can make. So let's just quickly watch that. Then
What is a good starting point in sharing the gospel with people of the Muslim faith?
So a good thing to do is just talk with people.
That's simple.
They're human. They want people to talk with them. They want friendships and relationships, just like everyone else. Like I said, about 90% of Muslims are unengaged by any American, let alone a Christian. My mom's been here in the United States for 35 years. Never once has she been invited to a Christian home. We remember one woman, her name was Robin. Back in the 80s, she invited us to her home. That was it. And my mom always appreciated her after that, and she wanted to go see her again, but she couldn't find her, what have you. But yeah, relationships. Some people come to the United States. I remember hearing a story of a student who came to the United States from Saudi Arabia. He brought two suitcases full of gifts to give to people who invited him to their homes so that he could give those gifts to them, you know, as a thanks for being invited. And he went back to Saudi Arabia a year later not having given a single gift away. It's unbelievable. The Muslim culture is built hugely on hospitality. You get to know some Muslims and you will see that hospitality is major, major thing to them, as it should be to everyone. We are missing out on that here. I don't know why. Is it fear? Do we think? We shouldn't be afraid of anything. 2 Timothy chapter 1 tells us that we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power. But let alone of sharing the gospel. I mean, at most they're going to say they don't like us. What, are we so worried about our, you know, feelings that we're willing to withhold salvation from someone? When I was a Muslim, I remember when Christians wouldn't share the gospel with me, I thought one of two things was true. I thought, number one, either they didn't believe it themselves, or number two, they were totally okay with me going to hell. So just start talking and just start sharing your life. And in the context of that, opportunities will come up with for faith. And if you don't know the answer to every question, that's fine. Just wait and look it up and read. Read together. Work through these things together like David and I did.
What is a good starting point in sharing the gospel with people of the Muslim faith?
So a good thing to...
Just drag it back. All right. Anyway. Imagine that. 35 years living in this country. And... they were immigrants, right? A lot of our parents were immigrants. And imagine only one person invited them to their home. That is absurd. Now, this doesn't just relate to Muslims. I'm sure it's a lot more prejudice against Muslims, just being blunt and honest about that. Hospitality... such a important part of how we can share about Jesus Christ. And it's just such a shame if we are not using the opportunities that God has given us for that purpose, right? That is really a shame if we are not spending at least the time that we already have, right, that we're eating, that we're with other people, to share Jesus Christ. And for the sake of the gospel, right, for the sake of wanting souls to be saved, right, that's what he was saying. You know, either we're okay with other people going to hell, or we just don't really believe it. Right, so for the sake of the gospel, we cannot let our relationships and environments deter us from using the gift that God has given us. Right? This gift is eating. Right? Take advantage of this opportunity, right, to have opportunities to talk with people, to share with people. And thankfully, I grew up in a home where my parents were very hospitable, and I always had people in our house. My parents somehow found time to invite people into our home, and especially when my dad started doing like more personal discipleship, he invited the ones he discipled over for dinner. Every time they met up, he always had them over for dinner. You know, it's a lot of money to go out and go to a restaurant. So they just invite them, come over for dinner, have some soup, you know. Now, for some of these individuals going through a program that our church was doing, not all of them were firm in faith. Many of them were very shaky in their faith. And not all of them were strong Christians. And for me, it was so tedious to have people over. I was always in charge of cleaning the bathroom, so like every day, like people would come over, I'd have to like go and get the I don't know what you call them, the cleaning thing, clean the toilet, and I had to wipe down the mirrors, clean the sink, make sure the bathtub is clean, and all this stuff. You know, for me, it was very annoying sometimes, and I had to clean up all the mess I made around the house. But the reason why my parents did this was because they knew the importance of being hospitable. And simply showing care and love through being together and eating together. The people being discipled, I knew that they could really feel the love and care that our parents had when they would come to our home. They would stay and they would talk and they would laugh. They would just enjoy being together. And they truly felt welcome. And many of them did grow in faith. Many of them eventually became Christian through these sessions. And my parents continue to maintain relationships with these people even today, even when they're halfway across the world from each other. And it truly is special, the power of eating together, spending time together in that way, and sharing and learning about each other through that means. I know that some of us, meals can be difficult because, like, you know, we grew up in a culture where meals are all about family. Meals are a family thing. Especially on the holiday season. It's all about family, right? But I want us to be careful with that. Family is very important. Don't get me wrong. Family is essential. A good family is essential to having a fruitful, happy life. But what we do is, if we are so focused on family, we just turn our family into our idols. We care so much about the family time that we don't value God's purposes. And maybe God wants to use your family time for the purpose of sharing the gospel with others. God's purposes are above all other things, which includes a family. And your family, again, utmost priority. You need a good family, a good strong family. But if you just consider your family the end-all be-all, and you cannot add anything else onto that, even with your meal, you lose a lot. And your focus becomes the wrong thing. For our family, family time is very important. It has always been very important. But my parents always felt that it was important to bring people into our family, to bring outsiders into our family, so that we can continue to share the love of Christ, not just our family, but to the people around us. We can sacrifice certain meals for the purpose of reaching out to our neighbors and friends. I've had Thanksgivings where it was just our family. I've had Thanksgivings where we've had tons of people in our home. And it doesn't diminish your family time. Right? Instead, it seems like you're working together as a family for the purpose of reaching others. Now, how beautiful is that picture? Right? Children and parents working together for the purpose of reaching people in the name of Christ. It becomes a family effort. And explain to your children and your parents that inviting people into your space for the purpose of loving others and showing that love of Christ, that'll just grow your family even more to do that work together. And to be honest, it's a lot of fun. Whenever we had people over, in our home. It's always a lot of fun. Just playing as a kid. I love, you know, we had all the other kids running around in our house, just hanging out, playing video games, playing basketball. Like, it was just so much fun. And you could hear the adults just laughing and laughing and enjoying a good time. Like, they'd be there literally from like, like 4 in the afternoon till like 2 in the morning. You know? And sometimes you'd be like, when are you guys going home? Like, it's getting late. And we hear them like laughing at like midnight. Like, oh, another hour. At least another hour. Because I'm laughing again at 1. Oh, at least another hour. You know, you can just tell that having good company, having good conversations, it's what God intended. It's what God intended for being together, eating together. Not for you to just be alone. You know, some of us just like read the news, or like watch TV. We eat in our cars alone. That is not what we are meant to do with our meals. We are meant to be with others and to use the mechanism of food to bring people together, just as Jesus did. So the question is, as Nabil asks in the video, what are we so afraid of? Right? Are we really afraid of what people will think? Are we so afraid that we'll make a fool of ourselves? We're going to, oh, what if they reject me? What if they don't like my cooking? What if they don't like my food? Oh, I'm not rich enough. I can't even take them out to a nice place to eat. You know, I can only afford McDonald's. Like, you can't be afraid of that stuff. A couple months ago, I met up with Augustus. I don't know if you're here today. We met up at McDonald's. We drank a 99-cent coffee together. Like, that's, we didn't have to meet at a fancy, like, Starbucks or anything. But we met up at McDonald's. And, you don't have to fear these things. You don't have to feel so insecure about these things, right? We have to ask ourselves, do we care about other people enough? Do we care about the souls of our peers and non-believing friends and our coworkers? So let me share some personal stories, and maybe you can pick up on and learn a little bit on how to make this a part of your disciple-making living. So, in college, for those of us who are in college, one of the best ways we got people who may not have been Christian to hang out with us is to say, hey man, we're going off campus, and you want to come meet with us? Right? And so that's what we do. We invite all these people who never really heard about Christianity, and a bunch of us who are part of the fellowship would intentionally ask people to just come out and eat, just to hang out with us, to eat together, right? So that we could have them in this environment around us and to be a part of our social circle, because we just didn't want to be amongst ourselves. We wanted to expand our circle so that we're not just so insulated in our little bubble. So we would just try to invite people out to eat. And that's all we did, was just invite them to come, and we would go to like H Mart. Like, that's what people at Villanova do. Let me all know. Like, that's what we do. That's like good for us. Going out and eating at H Mart, just hanging out and eating together. And if we had time afterwards, you know, if you were so inclined, we'd play like basketball together. And it led to these natural progressions where we play basketball or we play board games if you were inclined. I didn't like board games, so I was all about basketball, right? Whatever it is. And that's how people start to feel a part of the community. And that oftentimes feels closed. A lot of people complain that Christians feel so closed and isolated and apart from society. But we just invite them into our circle, and through food and meals, it can make a big difference. And Jesus and God will naturally flow out of that, right? And at that point, you simply hope and pray that God is opening up their hearts to the message of the gospel. And that's how it started with three of my friends in college who never heard Jesus before, who never heard about the gospel. And that's how they came to believe in Christ. And it's about creating in that environment of welcoming these people who may not have been Christian, that they feel welcome, because you have that welcoming presence, right? And you enjoy and you enjoy that company and that fellowship together. So, you know, use these opportunities that we have. Use those opportunities where you gather together, where you have these fun events together, to bring those who may not be a part of your circle into your circle. Right? Have them be a part of that community, to even though they may not believe in the same things as you believe. Right? To come into our community, to witness what we're doing, to witness the love of Christ that we have. Like this amazing love of Christ that is just so fulfilling for us that we just want to share with the people around us. And make it intentional. Make it intentional for us to do this. Right? And so, for us, in our life groups, in our fellowships, in SWAT, pray. Pray together to have people come. Right? To have people that we can invite to come to our community, that we can reach as outsiders into our community, to eat together, to build those relationships. And on an individual basis, just on a personal basis for us, try to use at least one meal a week. And even if a meal is too much, a coffee break, a water break, use some intentional amount of time, just once a week, to reach out to someone outside of your field. You know, even just bringing people like water, a cup of coffee, something simple as that. Now, that can create conversation, that can create opportunities to connect with people. Again, food, drink, a natural way for people to connect. Nabil Qureshi, his story is a complicated story of how he came to faith, but a big reason why he came to faith was because him and his friend David would meet up regularly over coffee or food and just simply talk about life. Talk about faith. Right? And his friend David intentionally met up with Nabil for this purpose and reached out to him. And that changed Nabil's life. And he is so thankful for his friend David to do this for him. If he didn't have someone reach out to him intentionally, it never would have happened. And so for us, we have the tool already. Right? It's food. Food is the tool. Right? And let's simply just use this tool to do ministry and work that Christ has called us to. Right? Using our something that we do every day, an everyday habit, everyday rhythm of life, which is eating. And let's think about how we can use that for the purpose of sharing Christ. The purpose of sharing. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, He used it as a tool to do ministry and work. Now, He wants us to do the same, to share the message of Him, His sacrifice, His death, His resurrection. Right? For all of us, right? The sacrificial death and resurrection for all of our sins, for all people of all nations. So that we, right, so we can be saved, and so that we can proclaim His message. And this is simply a tool that we have. That at the end of the day, it comes to our heart, right? Do we truly care? Do we truly care? Right? Are we afraid? Why are we afraid? What is bringing out the insecurities and fears? Anxieties about just sharing about Jesus with you. And unless that changes, right, unless our heart changes and wants to do that, none of this is ever going to happen. And so for us, I hope and pray that we will not be apathetic about losses, that we would just not be so willing to let the people around us just not know this truth, to not know how amazing Jesus Christ is, and that we would have a passion, a true burning passion, to want others around us to love God, to love Jesus Christ, to be saved, to have what we have, which is so special. Right? Because if we hold on to this for ourselves, that is insanely selfish. We are thinking that way. So, let's pray for God to move us to use our eating time, our meals, to share His love to those who do not yet know who He is. Let's take some time now to pray.